We should aspire for complete enlightenment in order to benefit all other sentient beings. And for that reason, we should cultivate what is known as the bodhicitta motivation. And with that kind of motivation, we should participate in this teaching.
I think the purpose of our cultivating spirituality or dharma is to liberate ourselves from the general and particular sufferings of samsara or cyclic existence, and to find personal liberation and complete enlightened state. I think it is important for us to reflect upon what has brought so much suffering that we have been through during our, I should say, going round in samsara.
As
we reflect on the state in which we find ourselves in, which is samsara and all its suffering, it is not as if someone with so much power, maybe we call that a person, has used his or her power to put us into samsara, as if we have nothing, you know, to do with it, as if somebody has decided our fate and situation and put us into, if you would like, the samsaric prison. Nobody did that. So if nobody has put us into samsara, this cyclic existence, then how did we come into this situation? What is responsible for our being in samsara, if you ask? Well, if we look inside ourselves, what we find is that our own contaminated karmic actions and delusions, these two are the real source of our being in samsara and going through a lot of samsaric experiences.
ane khoyi zyanre le thabare.
So if we were to identify contaminated karmic actions and delusions within each of our mind, are the real causes of our being in samsara and samsaric experiences, then from this what follows is, if we put an end to our contaminated karmic actions and delusions, then we would be able to free ourselves from the state of samsara. So whenever we put an end to, we put a complete stop to contaminated karmic actions and delusions, it is that point of time that we find complete freedom or liberation from samsara. So if delusions and contaminated karmic actions are what brought us into samsara and what keeps us in samsara, then how can we get rid of them? What antidote or a method that we could use to effectively counteract our delusions, if you ask? Well, the real antidote that we have is to develop insight into what emptiness is, the ultimate nature of everything that exists, we call a phenomena. And so that kind of realization of emptiness will help us to get rid of all the delusions from within our mind and find our freedom from samsara. As the great Tibetan master Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa, who is also known as Jerembuche, has said, and Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, he said, basically, the reason why sentient beings are wandering in samsara is just because they have not yet realized these characteristics of phenomena. Tongba, emptiness, Shiva, which is simply called pacification, and Kewameba, non-productivity, literally translating. So basically he said, just because sentient beings have not yet realized what emptiness is, what shunyata is, what sunata is, Tongpa in Tibetan, so because of that, we as sentient beings are wandering round and round in samsara.
No, no, tati tsi shima tali. Gyur mo chik ndogo lung ten dogo ta, changi li hin bo nala tsu lung ten nambar. Tati tsi shima tali tari. Nomba kiwa shao mi bitsu mi hipi nandro. Shao mi bitsu mi hipi nandro wa shini. Tata tuki nga yu tatsu chi, rupa jasa ka nan, rupa jasa ki nan zubran zes. Tata tanti gane pe tomba nji ten, tati ane tā dhūjī tōpa shāvī chētū rīpē nāntā tā yīpī gōnyi dhūshī pā kā nāng yōrēs kāntā.
So what Jerumbuche or Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa has said in his definitive work on what is called that which is interpretable and that which is definitive, Tange in Tibetan, differentiating between that which is interpretable and that which is definitive in Buddha's teachings. Of course, he was commenting on what historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha himself said in sutras. And to complete what the Jerumbuche said, as Geshe-la quoted the remaining lines from his memory, he said that now because sentient beings have not yet realized emptiness, peace or pacification and non-productivity, they have been going round and round in samsara. Now, in order to help sentient beings to be free from samsara, the infinitely compassionate one, meaning Buddha, through 100 different ways or skillful means, he tried to reason out, he tried to help sentient beings to understand, to establish what emptiness is and guide sentient beings to realize what emptiness is.
Kong ane dajak tamba shesh tofa ke ane ta chwe kandiji sumba yinaya
Jerebuche, Manjushi Ramasangaba, in his praise to Buddha for teaching relativity or dependent rising, Pratit Samutpat, Tendo in Tibetan, said that whatever you have taught, you meaning Shakyamuni Buddha, either explicitly and implicitly, revealed what dependent arising is, what Pratit Samutpat is, what Tendal is, explicitly or implicitly. Why? Because the whole intention behind your teaching is to help sentient beings go beyond the state of suffering and to find everlasting peace and happiness. So that is your intention or the motivation, and that with that motivation you have given so many teachings, but all of them either explicitly or implicitly or directly or indirectly teach about what dependent arising is. Now, as you listen to what I just said, you might, raise this kind of question in your mind, or you might think about it, So then what about cultivating love and compassion? Don't they help us to realize or understand emptiness?
So that Shamba Gombata, Hiji Gombati, and you remember,
cultivating love and compassion, Chamba in Tibetan love, Maitri, and compassion or Ningchi or Karuna, is of tremendous benefit, no doubt about it. But that could only maybe temporarily help us to overcome delusions. So they could help us to temporarily overcome our delusions.
That's Shamba da Hingi Goni. You know, but Nakam Gon Nangu, Karins and Maransol, Kakuin of Chidutani, and Nasamatak, Kaki J, the Watin Nangi, Nakam Gon Nangu, you know, Tawani, I was right to you.
So I emphasize this point that cultivating love and compassion is tremendously beneficial, and it could help us to temporarily deal with or overcome our delusions. But they cannot uproot delusions from within our mind. So it is basically like we have so much pain and we couldn't really deal with it, and then we get a painkiller. Medicine or injection, so that helps us to temporarily, numb us and not feel the pain. But of course, that painkiller is not the real treatment to our sickness. In the same way, love and compassion could temporarily help us to deal with delusions or even limit them or overcome them, but they are not the real antidotes to uproot, to get rid of delusions. So now we could ask the question, why? Why can't love and compassion uproot delusions? What's the reason? Well, great Indian Buddhist realized master scholar, actually the logician, Acharya Chandrakirti,
Chedasam again.
And great Indian realized Buddhist scholar Acharya Chandrakirti has said, as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, positive states of mind or attitudes such as love, etc., sok means etc., all other things that couldn't be listed here,
cannot eliminate ignorance because they are because they do not contradict, or they do not pose challenges to the modes of apprehension of things by ignorant perceptions. So love and other such positive attitudes, they do not directly, counteract the modes of apprehension of things by ignorant perceptions.
Sounds like that. Maranchoge ne khole tharne siba khole ne thaya ge ta thap chowen de garre sena te lahi chowen de garre sena tomba ni de to ge te chagyo.
So the lesson that we take from all of this is that in order to free ourselves from samsara, cyclic existence, the best and the most effective antidote and the method and practice that we could cultivate is to realize emptiness as it is.
That tongba ni de to ye de ngran so menam jani ki ni tare khande se and de ge to ni ngu ya mar ta ngune chen psan na tang gur.
So if we need to realize emptiness to be free from samsara, then how could we go about it, if you ask? Well, we cannot simply pray for the realization of emptiness, however wonderful the prayer is or could be. And we can simply do some kind of prayers or chanting every day that, as if that would, induce the realization of emptiness. We need to do analytical meditation and contemplation here. Sorry.
Oh, yes.
So the point I'm trying to make here is that we cannot realize emptiness simply by, chanting prayers or, making wishful prayers and aspirations, or even reciting some mantras. In order to realize emptiness, we have to, understand what emptiness is, and we need to analyze and contemplate the reality itself, which is emptiness, and only through this process we will be able to experience what emptiness is, and through this kind of analysis and understanding and realization of emptiness, that we are able to directly counteract or challenge our deluded perceptions.
Then some don't want you to the top of colors, Mato no quality programmers in a tongue around to pay, what is it with that? Sundu Sumney.
It's not a secret in a sense that when we say that it's really difficult to understand what emptiness is. And the great masters are no secret about this thing. They say it straight that it is not easy to understand what emptiness is. But at the same time, however difficult it is to understand emptiness, realize we must make efforts if we want to be free from samsara, if we want to be liberated from our samsara. And so how do we go about understanding emptiness? Of course, first we need to study what it is, or listen to teaching on what it is, and we have to develop correct understanding of what emptiness is. And as a part of this, it involves a lot of study, contemplation, and meditation. And as I was explaining to you the other day, that at the beginning we really have to make sure that we precisely identify what is called the object of negation, gakcha in Tibetan. In other words, that which is negated or refuted in order to understand what emptiness is. The objects of negation, precise identification of the object of negation, is an essential part of what we call the theory of emptiness, to establish what emptiness is, to understand what it is. Then the reason why we emphasize so much on the precise identification of the object of negation or the object of refutation, that which is refuted or that which is negated, gacha in Tibetan, why we emphasize so much on this right from the very beginning is to be able to realize what emptiness is. We need to stay right in the middle. We have to avoid the two extremes, the extreme of eternalism, takta in Tibetan, and the extreme of annihilation or nihilism called cheda. By avoiding these two pitfalls or extremes, staying right in the middle, that's the only way we could understand what emptiness is. Greatly realized Buddhist sage scholar Arya Nagarjuna has said in his fundamental wisdom treatise called Mule Madhyamik, as Geshe-la quoted the stanza from his memory, he said, those who adopt the wrong approach to emptiness, if you adopt the wrong approach to emptiness, and those lesser intelligent people or the people with low faculties, they are going to, that wrong approach is going to be destructive, self-destructive to them. Self-destructive in what sense? Because if we adopt the wrong approach to emptiness, we are going to fall into one of the two extremes, and we will miss the point, and that becomes very destructive, from spiritual perspective.
That he used the pit sooner. Get a dula zunita, ringa nyep druba is. Do zungi to the good do that Yahweh machine. Ane ante ran neva chimushengar. Ate toge tas sojama de tene da she. Ta ta na yi ge ne nga dong de ge ne nga ge so so pung ge ta.
And then the examples are given to illustrate the point how if we adopt a wrong approach to emptiness, then that could be very self-destructive. And the examples given are two. One, that of a snake catcher. Those who catch snake. So they have to have tremendous skill to be able to catch the snake, you know, at the right angle and, grab it at the right part. Otherwise, the snake could bite them and send poison into their system and kill them, see. So it's no easy task to catch the snake in a right way and needs tremendous skill and approach. In the same way, we need the right kind of approach to get at emptiness. The other example given is people who are into using like some tantric power, we might call it black magic thing, and so they think they are going to develop some black magic power to harm others, but in the process, if they don't know how to do it, instead of harming others, it could destroy themselves. So playing with black magic is, in a sense, playing with a fire. It could destroy themselves as well. So the point I'm trying to make here, or what the teachings teach us, is that before we start to meditate on emptiness, we really need to make sure and establish what is emptiness that we are going to meditate on. If we miss that point, we have missed the meditation.
That
Of course, there are many reasons that we could use to get at what emptiness is. The best reason that is given is that of dependent arising or tental in Tibetan, Pratit Samutpat. Greatly realized Buddhist master scholar Acharya Chandrakirti states in his work, again Kishila quoted the stanza from his memory, he said, with this reasoning of dependent arising, one could cut through the network of distorted views or the wrong views. So what is dependent arising or tental or pratitsamutpada in Sanskrit? What is it? Well, the concept of dependent arising has certain shades of meaning, if you will. And, you know, we often talk about dependent arising in terms of what we call produced or composite phenomena, duje in Tibetan. So that means how things are produced by causes and conditions. But then we can also talk about dependent arising in terms of how things exist in relation to each other. Relativity is also a part of understanding what dependent arising is.
That generally ten it junsu the ransu kiale outer was lila outer was carries in a jula till ten in debut junguari, debut ten ju tower.
So I think when it comes to understanding dependent arising in terms of cause and effect relationship, I think maybe we find it relatively speaking easier to understand because we could kind of think about how, you know, causes and conditions produce different results, and then these different results again become causes and conditions for other you know outcomes. And so this kind of relationship, cause and effect relationship, junde in Tibetan, relationship is a part of understanding what dependent arising is. So at the you know, we could understand dependent arising at that level, that is in terms of cause and effect relationship. Now we could also understand dependent arising you know, in terms of, as I said, relativity, how things exist in relation to each other. And we could find many examples. When we talk about you know, that hill and this hill, well, we could only posit the existence of this hill in relation to that hill and that hill in relation to this hill. So this and that are you know, exist in relation to each other. And so is the case with, you know, big and small. Now, what is big and small? It's all relative, you know. Comparing to different sizes, so we can talk about big and small. In the same way, as it is stated in Supplement to the Middle Way, Madhyamika Avatar, that when we talk about tall and short, or long and short, again, that is, you know, could only be done in relation to each other. You know, relating to something, something is considered tall or short. So is the case with you know, directions that we posit. You know, we could only talk about, you know, that you know, you know, eastern direction in relation to other directions such as western direction. So east, west, north, south, all these things exist in terms of relativity. Now when we think about what we call space, you know, empty space, But we could also still posit the directional parts of the space, the eastern part of the space, the western part of the space, and so forth. So all such things exist, again, in relation to one another. So the point I'm trying to make here is, you know, any thing that exists has got parts. There is no such thing as a partless phenomenon. We look at what, you know, maybe normally we might think it is the smallest particle, and now we cannot divide it anymore. You know, looks like this is the, this is it. Well, but we could still find at least, you know, different parts to that, which seemingly, you know, appears to us as the subtlest particle with no parts at all.
So that the correlation, so you show you check it out.
Even the so-called the smallest particle, you know, it has, you know, at least six parts. We can talk about, you know, the directional parts, east, west, north, south, of that particle, up and down. And so those six directional parts are there.
That's the Travis Zucchrist, huh?
So that is, we're talking about the subtlest, you know, a particle that could have six directional parts, like east, west, north, south, and the top and bottom directions, you know.
Mahila tendu yaris, nung yaris, yuese gujar matoge, kamra na te pachi na tenina parteya kawu injuris.
So I'm only such the smallest particles could be accessed through the most advanced, you know, microscopic, you know, technology. Well, that's not something visible to our eyes, or even with, you know, I mean, you know, the regular cameras. So because, however minute or small that particle is, it is still, we have to consider as a visible object, visible to our eye consciousness.
Oh.
However small it is, maybe our eyes cannot see directly what it is, but through the most advanced technological device, eye consciousness has to see it, that it exists. So I just very briefly mention about, you know, understanding dependent arising in two different ways. Dependent arising in terms of cause and effect relationship, and dependent arising in terms of relativity, how things exist, you know, in relation to one another. So as we consider these you know, understandings of dependent arising, then what we really see is that nothing exists in and of itself. There is no phenomenon or entity that exists objectively and absolutely independently in and of itself. There is no such thing. So why, as we just talked about, if something exists, it either exists as something produced by something else, as a cause and condition, which means then it doesn't exist in and of itself, because now the cause and effect relationship applies to this phenomenon, or if it is not produced by a cause and condition, that it exists in relation to something else. You know, it can't exist just by itself. It could only be posited in relation to something else, and that's how it exists. So that also invalidates independent, objective, inherent existence.
Yeah.
So now as we deal with, you know, what we call external phenomena, we might think, oh yeah, kind of get it, you know. But what about me? I, the meditator, I, the thinker, I, the contemplator, you know, who is doing the thinking. What about me? How do I exist?
ダラーラネねポンボダギポンボラテネダギポンボラテネねタミンテタテスパンドスタパチマトタンボコニコランドマジサネヨマトタチシエンデブタキジョンセエンデブタアネタカレナミカンデキイネコディポンボラタンポンボラテネパタペンガタンガサンキレタテマトヨマリス.
So when we pose that question to ourselves, what about me? I as meditator, I as a thinker, I as a contemplator, I as analyzer, and I as the agent here, how do I exist? Well, the way I exist, whatever my name is it just a label given onto the collection of my physical and mental aggregates. That's all there is to it. I do not exist, you know, from the side of my aggregates or in and of itself. I is simply a label, a name. If your name is Tashi, it's just a name given to the collection of your body and mind. And that's what it is. If your name is John or Sally or whatever the name, our name is, it's just a label given on to our aggregates. And that is all there is to it. Our aggregates do not exist as Tashi or John or Sally or Mally or whatever.
Ah, yeah. Then what is it? Ah, that's the lady. Just that, yeah, Pungo the Hago, Pungo Maran Samal, Pungo Nayores. Pungo, that's Zuke, that Zuke, Zuta Demi Kansa, you know, that Pungo got Swanny. Pungo Nalatani, and Tago.
So when I say that whatever our name is, it is simply a label given to, imputed onto our collection of physical and mental aggregates. Now, as human beings in this world, each of us has got five aggregates. So we also got this form aggregate or the body. Well, every sentient being does not necessarily have a body, but we do. So the five physical and mental aggregates that each of us has is, there is the body or the form aggregate, Sugi Pungbo. There is the aggregate of feelings, Sorwe Pungbo. There is the aggregate of what we call discriminative awareness, Dusheji Pungbo. And then the aggregates of what we call non-compositional factors, Dusheji Pungbo. And then there's the aggregate of consciousness, or Namsheji Pungbo. So each of us has got those five aggregates from the form to the consciousness. So all the beings in the desire realm of existence and the form realm of existence, all of us, these five physical and mental aggregates constitute what is called the basis for labeling or the basis of imputation. And it's on to this basis of labeling or imputation, terms or labels are given. In the formless realm of existence, the beings only have four aggregates, because we said formless, so they don't have form, but they have the remaining aggregates which constitute the basis for their labels.
So that's why I
So in our case, Our collection of five physical and mental aggregates should be there as the basis for labeling, and onto this basis of imputation label, then whatever labels our names are, John, Peter, Sally, and others, are just labels given onto the collection of our aggregates.
Yes. 对呀，咱咱一什么意思？咱们都刚说嘛，就咱那，那搞的是个啥？嗯，啊，别那偏僻，那咱弄到啥的田里了，啥的田里了？那刚才是打那个药嘛？可咱一什么那个药嘛？对。
So what I just talked about is how, I or whatever my name is nothing but a mere label.Label onto a collection of my physical and mental aggregates, and that's not more, that's not less, that's it. That's who I am. That's how I exist. And, but that basis of labeling that we just talked about, in our case, the five physical and mental aggregates, they constitute what we call a valid basis for labeling. Dakshi Chenma in Tibetan. Dakshi is basis of imputation. Chenma means valid. It's not artificial, basis. And that's very important. If the basis of labeling or imputation, Dakshi, is not valid, Chenma, then it doesn't work. Well, let me give you an example here. We just cannot label...a tree as a human being, that label doesn't work. A tree is not the valid basis to be labeled as Mr. X or Mrs. Y,
Yes. That day, those in Taiwan, don't want you go to the figure, is that only don't want you magong for Takanje, didn't they? Tenjung de Hakovish, Tenjung de Hakovish, Tenjung, well, at ten any don't want you talk over it.
So what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to explain how to approach emptiness from the right perspective. I'm explaining to you that in order to understand what emptiness is, we must understand what dependent arising is, Dendo. And what is dependent arising? That's what I've been explaining to you. So that when we understand properly what dependent arising is, and as we apply it to understand emptiness,then we will be able to understand what emptiness is and properly meditate on it.
No, no. That's it. Rang and Somalo, Marala Tensuton and the Tending and Somalo, Payakin Hubis.
So that's, I think something beneficial to both you and myself included. And so I wanted to share that before we return to our wonderful text.
好了，打点能力，那也只能打点的。嗯，可咱们头部那呢，因为现在普通话现在是的，普通话可咱们公司使用的普通话就是的。
嗯，
就是等于说，因为现在普通话现在是可能，他公共都说的，我国的技术，但，嗯，台湾这边没绿特的，也马上去套。在这其他个，当时当我当在进小学上面没有留在我的其他个，隔离卡过来就特别的不是可能。
Going back to where we left off in this wonderful text called Kadam Sung Thulpo in Tibetan, which is a miscellaneous collection of Kadamba Geshe's personal advices. And so now we have.An instruction from another great Kadamba Geshe by the name of Geshe Pujungwa. He's one of the three Kadamba brothers. And Geshe Pujungwa tells us that first we should appreciate this fully endowed human form we call precious human life that we have found, which is very difficult to find because this life is characterized by freedoms and enriching factors.
That's indeed any...top recovery, Maranzo Tajin Joja Milit Toyer, the inner top ness and Tongsundo, top nature, then the Navy two metes, Chigus. But they Kirak Kali Kabuj, Toya Kali Kabuj and Ryor, Toburis, Yenayata, Tonyata, then the Debes, the 2000 Deaki, the Yamaris,
So on the one hand, you know, we should appreciate this precious human life, fully endowed human form that we have found, which is very rare and difficult to find, but yet we have found it. So we have every good reason to appreciate it. But on the other hand, we also have to be very realistic in that, however wonderful this life is, this is not our permanent address, you know, and we have to let go this life, which is called death.
That sendela bishi pinso sopata yena andra karayina ta sendela sidu yani kandi chi yena ta nyema chi de ta ngazu chamal pege shoshimal phan droge ke sound kanang gyares.
So Geshe Pujo was telling us that we really need to consider the fact that one day we will all have to leave this life behind and we have to journey into the next world, which is called future life. You know, whatever our life experiences are here, good and bad, but, you know, at a certain point of time, they all must come to an end. And then we have to move on, and which is called next life.
Then and then, Sundwa, she will say, since the number of talks about tongues is done, person talks about tamji las, tamji la, bu, selin dama zayin, wanjar meki mrosta, So, lama hingga lama le pejar, hingga lama jika cuci tangan ya, tapi ngaran pe panjang pun sebab yang ni yang tentu kaya ke wajar ia maris kanan tu.
So when our life comes to an end, you know, we could have been very successful in our life and might have amassed great, you know, wealth and achievements, material achievements. But there's nothing we can do about it. We cannot carry even a you know, tiny bit of it with us. And the example given here is just not even to the size of a leaf of a tree, that we can carry it with us into the next life. When life comes to an end, which we call death, so at that time, we all go through the same experience and process, and all kinds of differences that we may have considered very important in life, like educated, uneducated, rich, poor, you know, powerful, you know, not powerful, and beautiful, ugly, whatever differences which we might thought is very important, they really don't matter. And we will know that at that time.
Namju ini pergi kerja kita susu cahaya cesa kita semua lo, tak rangan itu raya kaya amaris kanang lo.
So it doesn't matter how much we have accumulated in our life, how much success we have, how many friends we have. At that time, nobody can do anything. Nobody can go with us.
Ta rang kiwi cina se, rang kiwi cina gaya le se. Pe gawat kiwi se, pe ta kiwi cina ni. Gangi suka ya mara ta nguru te te dungin sa ding mat ina ta chen namba ta ba jiro ta te yun yong gure yang chi yu te rang chi yu te ga yan le ga yi to yin de chua chi ta song dong.
So as it will be explained a little later, that only if we cultivated spirituality properly, then at the time of the death, the most difficult time where nobody can go with us, or we can take anybody with us, or we can't carry anything with us, at that time we will be able to face the death with a happy state of mind. That's very important, to be able to die happily.
Go chö dungge ta shiri zane te neba chungwe na ane te ya yungu res duma taga duma kese ta sosu shawa ta sheba te ane te tunde zangbo chungwe res kano
so only if we could prepare ourselves really well through the understanding is cultivating spirituality if we could die very happily when that day comes which is sure to come if we could die it very happily and peacefully then that is what is what really counts you know we can call that person the most learned person we can call that person the most how do you say you know smart person or the one who has really fulfilled his or her aim and that's what you say the person got the whole power you know to be able to face the death So if we could do that, that means we have been able to take good care of ourselves. In contrast, at the time of death, if we started to, you know, how should I say, freak out, so to speak, that we started to get all these premonitions about, you know, where we will be, in what kind of a hell we are going to go through, and all this kind of scary, you know, how should I say, appearances of hell guardians or the guardians of the yamas, the lord of death, and all the scary things we started to see, that's not a good sign. I mean, things are not working out. If that is happening, if you're getting all the scary experiences and premonitions and, you know, freaking out, that means we have not been able to take good care of ourselves.
Tā nāngyū ngāzhō rāngō tēn mā tē sēyā tē sōsū lē pē, sōsū sāyā tōngyā tā, jū jālā tā tā rāng lō gōpa tā sāma jī tsāngwā yin tō na ā tē rāngō tēn bā tā, ānē mē kāsō pē pā nā pā tēn lī tō na rāngō tēn bā tē yā gā rā sī
Usually, the depending on what rāngō tēn bā means, you know, are you able to take good care of yourself? The way we normally maybe consider that as, oh, well, you got a good job, yeah, you got taking good care of yourself. You got a lot of money, very good. You got a nice car, you got a nice house, and you got a smart mouth, and people seem to like you, and, you know, all that. And, oh, this person is taking good care of himself or herself. You know, it seems to be working. Good job, good money, you know, smart mouth, and all that. But from the point of view, perspective that we are talking about, that person may not necessarily be what we call somebody who has taken good care of himself. It'll show at death. So from the point of view of spirituality, someone who we can say, oh, he or she has really taken good care of himself or herself, is only at the time of death, if this person, how he or she handles the death, very peacefully, happily, and started to see more of a positive sign, such as, you know, started to get... started to, you know, see the appearances of one's meditational deities or the gurus or lamas and other positive things, then this person, we can say, has taken a good care of themselves.
Nanjing is yes. Take good care of you. I will. Nanjing later check the was.
And we usually tell each other, you know what, take good care of yourself. And then we answer, yeah, sure, I will.
That day, the one day, the red of Marin, that the Rango Tema to get the Tanya Tena, Minduta Rango Tema, the only system of that under the Hapos was.
So now we got a different perspective on understanding what does that mean, take good care of yourself. And we say, yes, I will. Okay, now, I mean, where do we stand now?
do you think we can, we have been taking good care of ourselves, or we think, you know, by the end of the life, we could say, yeah, I have done that. So in the present context, you know, when we say to each other, take good care of yourself, and we answer, yes, I will, or I, what that should really mean is that, you know, we stay very positive, cultivate positive attitudes. And as a matter of fact, that's what the great Atisha was advising us. So he would ask, and he would say, you know, Sim Sambuche means be positive in your outlook on life or attitudes. And if you do that, and then at the time of death, we have no regret, but we happily accept the death with positive state of mind, then that means we have taken good care of ourselves. And Greg Kadamba Geshe Pujumba, I mean, he says it straight here. Basically, he said, but most of us, he said, most of us, we don't seem to be doing that. We are so much caught up with this life and fulfilling the aims and objectives of this life and all the plans we have got for this life that we got astray from what we really should be doing, even though we have found this fully endowed human life in a form, but we are completely got distracted in other things, and we are really not taking good care of ourselves.
Yes, sir. That is one. Ali, yah da ba zobi sanje na lokpar sung misis sanje kamde dekhe ngaran chole ta lokpar sung sung marvas be ngaran chole pembat ma to me pembat sung marvas kana.
And really, if we listen to Buddha, because Buddha will never, give us the wrong advice or mislead us. And if we listen to, other great masters, such as Arya Nagarjuna and other Indian great masters, such as all the masters of our direct and indirect lineages, you know, they would not have misguided us, and they would never mislead us. So if Buddha, does not mislead us, and great Indian commentators and masters such as Nagarjuna do not mislead us, and other gurus, authentic, of course, the gurus in our lineages do not mislead us, then who could or what could mislead us if we ask? So what could and do mislead us is the desires of this lifetime. You know, because of all the plans and aims and objectives of this lifetime, only confined this life, such desires do and could mislead us.
Yeah. Tsindile re kuna zo sung yate tsindile tsindi enin depende sha ke wang ke te lam lo bale ju yore kan nang dwas.
The bottom line is this, that starting with Shakyamuni Buddha as our historical original teacher, and down through the other lineage in a time, the great lineage masters such as Arya Nagarjuna and all others, they have always advised us, don't get caught up with attachment to the worldly aims and objectives of only this lifetime. We should try to, you know, how should I say, get outside this box, so to speak, and think more broadly and long-term goals and perspectives and what we could potentially do much more, you know, and especially in terms of spiritual achievements. And that's what they have been telling us based upon their own life experiences. And so they have seen the truth, if you will, from much higher perspective and broader perspective, whereas we are so caught up with our desires of this lifetime and attachment to the things of this lifetime, and we got stuck. And being stuck in these things and what we do, we are misleading ourselves from realizing, you know, higher goals and broader perspectives.
So that you must have pushman. They say shakwe koi zhenre kings. They say any shakwati any koi zhenre le jun lam lokbal tingting de tres ganang duwa.
Jerembuche Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa, in his advice to Pichungpa, said, you know, attachment to sensual pleasures is just like a lasso that binds you to the samsara. And so what keeps you in the samsara, what binds you in the samsara, is attachment to sensual pleasures and objects.
And
as we have seen this in the Lamrim treatises, Lamrim is a Tibetan term which means stages of the path to enlightenment. And there's this powerful anecdotal story about how once a lay practitioner called Upasaka, you know, he asked great Dongtenpa, you know, how to go about with the practice. And the Dongtenpa said, "Tse le dang, you should renounce your life."
That means
So renounce this life means one should, how should I say, cut off one's attachment to this life.
Tan di na gan tsin di depe lam lod kyu pes deve nas ta jun si dei shen nas ta to depe tan di tsin di depe le pe ane ta nyembo tian de kan de se gu na de nyembo tian de re ta deve nas ta to chyo sang gu re.
So then how can we counteract our attachment to this lifetime, the desires of this life? Yes. Now, one of the ways to do this is to always, you know, think about, you know, how should I say, death and impermanence of life. And so meditating on death and impermanence of life is a very powerful meditation and practice to counteract attachment of this lifetime. And as it is, you know, extensively described in the Lamrim treatises, but I think we have to really specially focus on the uncertainty of the time of death. I think we kind of all will agree and know somewhere in the back of our mind, at least, if not on the front of the mind, that we will die one day. There is no mystery about it. So we will all accept it. But it's not enough just to think about that. Yeah, one day I'll die. Yeah, sure. But we have to meditate really more on That could happen any time. That one day could happen any time, and we really don't know the time of death. The uncertainty of the time of death is a very powerful thing to meditate upon. So if we really become aware of death and impermanence of life in a very powerful way in everyday life, then you know the result is that we are not going to you know get attached to this life and the desires of this lifetime.
Gom la stang ran so gom je kar da gom kar gom gre se na ani kho wa ta da gi ni mi gom ge kho gi ni mi kho gi ni da kho we ni ba de sam gre se.
So what we really need to meditate on is the problems of samsara, all the disadvantages or the what we call limitations and sufferings of samsara.
Kho we
So if we meditate on the what is called the nyimi, faults of samsara, basically its suffering, limitations, disadvantages, then we are going to be able to renounce samsara, develop aversion to samsara. And if we develop aversion to samsara, all the things in samsara, then we are not going to get attached to things in samsara. So then additionally, based on that kind of renunciation or aversion to samsaric existence, then we could cultivate love, compassion, and bodhicitta.
And
also we should really consider the importance of all other sentient beings and our connections with them, that if we regard them, all others, as more important than the self, then we will see that we are dedicating ourselves for their betterment and we are not staying attached to one's selfish
motives.
And if we are not stuck with our selfish motives, then we shouldn't have difficulty helping and benefiting others. As the great first Dalai Lama Jawakindudup has said in his spiritual songs, that may I never get stuck in fulfilling my selfish motives, and may I always be happily engaging enthusiastically to work for and promote others' betterment, and in order to be able to work effectively for others, may I also be able to develop clairvoyances and other powers. And then, additionally, we should meditate on emptiness, the ultimate nature of all phenomena. And if we meditate on emptiness, then we are able to bring to our mind what selflessness is. And if we become aware of selflessness, then in everyday life, then we will not get attached to, you know, things and phenomena in our life.
So
the sense sense we get here is, you know, when we dedicate ourselves into Dharma, we are really considering future lives as more important than this life. This life is really, relatively speaking, not that important. And we want to think about all the future lives that there are yet to come and work for the betterment of future lives.
Now, as
Mahayana practitioners, the practitioners of Bodhisattva's way of life, it's not just enough not to get attached to this life and its aims, but we have to really cultivate great love, great compassion, and altruism for the benefit of other sentient beings. And to be able to cultivate great love and great compassion, we have to understand the situations in which sentient beings find themselves in. By understanding their situations, then we are able to cultivate love and compassion for them. So in other words, that the great advice that's been given here is we must focus on sentient beings and understand their situations and then cultivate great love, great compassion, and bodhicitta for them. And then in addition to that, cultivating great love, great compassion, bodhicitta, etc., we should also cultivate insight into, meditate on emptiness. And if we find ourselves doing that or apply ourselves in fulfilling such things, then we are really preparing very well for our life, and not only this life, but the future lives as well.
Yeah.
So instead of staying focused on the things we should be focusing on, you know, understanding the life situations of sentient beings and trying to cultivate love and compassion, bodhicitta for them, trying to cultivate the wisdom, understanding emptiness and all that, but if we kind of get stuck with the hustle and bustle of life, well, then we are losing it, you know. So the point of Vietnam is don't get influenced by distractions, because hustle and bustle is a distraction.
The chukan ding the mere mere ta ali pe nanka le ke pa chaba show ke de nang si jo ma sal ma pa sal tembo si ma kamba su yete sal tembo si zu ke ba se gores.
Metaphorically speaking, we have to stand very firmly on the ground. Don't be like a piece of paper that's blown away by the wind everywhere. Now, that is not being stable. That is, being hustle and bustle everywhere. Just stay stable and firmly grounded in the ground, in practice. As practitioners, we really have to stay firmly grounded in our practice, because we have to stand on a solid ground to lay out the foundations for our practice and to build on that. You know, we cannot just go and practice in an abstract space or a cyberspace. We have to really stay focused and grounded. You know, we can't lose the ground underneath the feet, so to speak, and then as if we can do some practice in some abstract universe.
That didn't take Yagis.
And we will stop there today. So we will stop there, and I would like to remind you of the upcoming events. It's more like an announcement. Next week, June 8th, Sunday, Kesala will give Cheresik Arya Avalokiteshvara, Genesis Tibetan name, initiation. This is called a minor blessing or initiation. And so it's not going to be regular teaching. It is Buddhist Tantric initiation.
And of course, if you are willing to and decide to take part in, you're welcome. But usually this involves certain limited at this commitment, and, you know, you should know about that. That's just my always translator's footnote. Keshe is not saying it, okay? Nobody's being excluded, but I just want to be sure that you don't get into something stuck. And then you said, okay, I hated doing that. You know, that was a terrible thing. That's happening next Sunday. And then on June, at the weekend of June 13th and 15th, there is going to be Nyungne practice. Nyungne is a fasting retreat practice based upon the Chenrezig initiation and practice. And so it will be for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, starting at 5:30 in the morning and going for 2 days. So this is also falls on the holiest month according to lunar calendar called Sakadava. The month during which Buddha became Buddha. Buddha was born and the Buddha passed away into Parinirvana. And so it's very extremely auspicious, time to do such purification practice. So that's coming up again. And then June 18th will be the full moon day, the real Sakadava day, and there will be, the chalk offering at the center. But all of these things are posted on www.tdlink.com, and there are many more there. You can visit the website. So I don't have any special prayer request here today, but once again, I just want to remind you from my side that I think many more people, the list of the deaths in China's outlook are going up every day, and so that's around about 68,000 or more, and many more are missing, and of course, more terrible actually in Burma. Media coverage is so much on China because of opening up there, but Burma is closed completely, and much more tragic thing happened there. So we want to think about everybody who lost their lives and everybody who is suffering like anything, and send our best thoughts and prayers for them.
Jawa ingin apa cuci betin di sini bertambah nanti khusus siapa tambah tu tuju ingin apa memilih dulu yang mana? Ani cuci dongki ke ani nasho gini pun nasi cuci bet, show puman nasi kini siapa nasi sen tenjo bata. Gini je kami tu dah hendu, mesti begitu sahaja dah hendu, tinggi lucu sahaja memilih dulu yang mana?
Whatever merit that we have accumulated this morning together, participating in the teachings. We dedicate it for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. Last but not least, we dedicate our collective positive energy called Sanam or Punya for all mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and maybe all become Buddhas soon.
Kalau saya kan dua berita.
Kalau orang orang situ ulang.